Genesis chapter 19. Read one verse with me, taking the title of this message from verse 17. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Escape for thy life. Now, everyone in here is familiar with this story, the story of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. It is a story of damnation, destruction. Yet, it's a blessed story of salvation here also. This story is more filled with warnings than anything. Warnings to all of us. Warnings to lingering lots, such as we are. And the fact of the matter is, this is so relative to our day. Fact of the matter is, we live in Sodom. And God is going to rain fire upon this land just as sure as I'm standing here. And unless we escape, we'll be consumed with everybody in it. But this is a story of salvation, the salvation of Lot. Peter said, the Lord delivered just Lot. He called him just Lot because he justified him. We'll see here that there wasn't much that was just about Lot, or much to be admired about Lot. Maybe he meant the Lord saved just Lot. He nevertheless, he was considered just. And that's a story, that's a picture of salvation. And the Lord saves us in spite of ourselves and justifies us, not due to anything. Turn back to chapter 11. Let's begin our story there. Let's look at something of Lot's life. Chapter 11 will tell you who Lot was, beginning with verse 27. Genesis 11, verse 27. Now, these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram. Terah was Abraham's father. He begat Abraham, Abram, Nahor. Abram's his name before the Lord changed it. Nahor and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. So Lot was Abraham's nephew, his brother's son. Now Haran, Lot's father, died before his father, Terah, in the land of his nativity, in Ur of the Chaldees. So Lot's daddy died, and Abraham and Nahor, two remaining brothers, took them wives. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarah, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarah was barren, she had no child, and Terah took Abraham, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran. So here the father of Abraham, the grandfather of Lot, took his family, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in this land called Haran before he got to Canaan. So Lot was the son of this man named Haran, and the grandson of this Terah, the nephew of Abraham. All right, now look at chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Now, Abraham here in our story is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a picture of Christ. He's a type of Christ, whom the Lord God said, "Leave me and go to a country. Go down to planet Earth. Go down to that country." And Christ left his Father and came to this earth. Now look at verse 2 and 3. "And the Lord said unto Abraham, I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." That is a clear picture of Jesus Christ, that God Almighty made him a father of a people, or that he is the firstborn among many brethren. And he blessed all those that are in him by faith. All those that come to Christ by faith are blessed. But all those who do not, who reject him, are cursed. Now, verse 4. "So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran." Abraham was 75 years old. And he left this land, and Lot went with him. Abraham did as the Lord said, and Lot went with him. Now, this is a picture of Christ, who came to this earth and did as the Lord God told him to do. Go down to the earth, leave me, go to earth, fulfill all righteousness for my people, establish my covenant with them, pay the penalty of their sins, and come back to me. The Lord demanded of the Lord Jesus Christ that he go to the cross and die the death of his people. And all his people went with him. They were crucified with Christ. And they follow him still. They follow him whithersoever he goes. All right, now look at verse 5. "And Abraham took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came." Abraham took Lot all the way to Canaan. Abraham, now you get the picture there? Huh? Abraham is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He left his father. Upon the command of the Father, he left him, came down to this earth, and did as the Father told him to save a people. And he did that. And he took his people with him to the cross, nailed their sins to the cross. And then he arose from the cross, and someday he's coming back, and it says he'll take them all the way back to glory with him someday. And it's as sure as we're sitting here tonight. Christ will someday bring all of us safely home. All right, but we're going to look at the story of Lot here. We're not going to make this try to walk on four legs. It doesn't always stand in every place. Now, at first here, things look pretty good to Lot. Things look pretty good for him. Abraham took him with him, and the Lord God made Abraham great. And it says in another place, Abraham was very rich in cattle and gold and many things. Abram was very rich, and he had Lot with him. And Lot was blessed as long as he was with Abram. As long as he stayed with Abram, he was blessed. And everything looked real good to Lot at the start. Starting out, there were no troubles. He was just as happy as he could be, glad to be with Abraham. He was glad he followed Abraham, or Abram. But then hard times hit. A few years went by, and a famine arose in the country. And as they journeyed along, Lot journeyed with Abraham, or Abram. A famine arose, and trouble started. This also is a picture of every believer who walks with the Lord. Any amount of time at all, trouble will arise. Things seem very great at first. You're happy and you're glad and no troubles really, but after you walk with Him a while and mature and grow in grace, the trials come. The troubles start. And Lot and Abraham separated. Look now at chapter 13. Look over chapter 13, beginning with verse 8. Because of these troubles, Lot left Abram. Lot was given a choice by Abraham. Verse 8, Abram said unto Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren." We be brethren. So Lot was offered a choice. Verse 9, "Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, I'll go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." Lot was offered a choice. Now, Abram wasn't telling him to go. He was offering him a choice. Okay? Man does not have a free will at first. He's dead in trespasses and sin. But once a man is saved, then he becomes a free agent. And the Lord gives us many choices. Yes, He does. And had Lot remembered the Lord's mercies to him, had he just looked back a few years previous and remembered the Lord's mercies to him, he was an orphan, and he was taken in by Abram. Had he remembered the Lord's blessings and salvation in Abram, how that he was made rich and how he was blessed everywhere he went with Abram, he didn't suffer hunger, even though there was a famine. Had he remembered that, he would have forsaken all of his goods and said to his men and his people, "Now y'all go where you want to, I'm going to stay with Abraham, or Abram. I'm going to stay with Abram. You can have everything else, I just want to be with Abram." But no, look down at verse 10. He got a sight of Sodom. Verse 10, "Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And it was even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar." Lot began to lust with his eyes after the land. He got a sight of Sodom. And look at verses 11 through 13. "Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other," that is, Lot and Abram. "Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." So Lot left Abram and chose the well-watered plains of Sodom and set up his residence there. Set up his residence. So Lot left Abram in favor of a land. He left the blessings of God in favor of a land. And so Lot settled down in Sodom, away from Abraham. No doubt that Abram told Lot what the Lord told him there in chapter 12. No doubt he heard the story that "I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee." No doubt Lot heard that, but he forgot, didn't it? And he left Abram anyway in favor of this land. And he began to set up residence in Lot, and he began to be very comfortable in Sodom, and he began to be very happy there. Until more trouble arose. More trouble. Now look over chapter 14. A great war broke out. The kings of the earth gathered together and came and besieged Sodom and the city of Gomorrah. And Sodom and Gomorrah were ravished. And look at verse 12 of chapter 14. "And they took Lot." These evil kings ransacked these cities, and Lot was taken captive, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods. Lot, his family, his goods, was taken captive. He was captured and lost his goods. And so Lot became a captive of wicked kings and in great trouble. Great trouble. But Abraham comes to the rescue again. Abraham, faithful Abraham, the father of the faithful. Look at verse 14. When Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. So Abram, rescued Lot again. Now you see the story here? Lot was an orphan. And Abram, out of his goodness and mercy and kindness, took him in. And everywhere Abram went, Lot went at first, and he was blessed because of Abraham. All because of Abram. Lot was blessed, but Lot got aside of Sodom and pitched his tent toward Sodom and dwelt there and became at ease in Sodom. And then he began to be in much trouble. And he was taken captive, and all of his goods were taken, and Abraham came again to his rescue. Came again. Now look at verses 17 here. I love this part of this chapter 14. And the king of Sodom went out to meet Abram, after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale, and Melchizedek. Now this was a great thing here, this salvation by Abraham. This was a great thing, a great type, a great picture here, that Abraham had come to rescue his brother from captivity and restore all of his goods. A perfect picture of salvation, the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ came down himself to honor this type. Melchizedek was his name. King of Salem, that means peace. And he brought forth, look at his offering, bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. He was a king and he was a priest. And he blessed Abraham. Now he's a prophet. The only man in all the Bible that all three of those offices were given to. Prophet, priest, and king. Melchizedek. So that tells me this is a bodily presence of the Lord Jesus Christ upon earth. And he blessed Abram and said, "Blessed be Abraham." Now this is the second time now that Abram had been blessed by God in an unusual way. "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, a possessor of heaven and earth. Blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he gave him tithes of a whore. Now Lot witnessed all this. Again, Lot heard this. Lot was standing there. Lot had been rescued by his uncle Abram, and a miraculous salvation. He thought perhaps he would never be rescued, but he was. And he stood there in the midst of this valley and watched all of these proceedings as the Lord came down himself and blessed his uncle Abram. And he witnessed all this. Yet, after it's all over, after the service was over, after communion was over, Lot went back to Sodom. He went back to Sodom. He should have stayed with Abraham. He should have stayed with Abram again, but he didn't. And poor Lot went right back to the place where all his trouble started. Right back to it. Because he had a little taste of Sodom. And much transpired during this time. If you'll see, look through chapter 15 and 16 and 17 and 18, in your own free time. Much, much, much transpired between the Lord and Abram. Abram, in chapter 17, received the covenant from God. Are you with me now? This is a beautiful picture. While Lot kind of laid around in Sodom and got rich again and lazy, Abram went back to wherever he was and received the covenant from God, the sign of circumcision, covenant, and Abram received a name change. Abram received from the Lord, because of his great and successful exploits, he received another name, a name which up to this point was above every name, Abraham. God changed his name to Abraham, which meant father of a nation, father of many people. A name was given him. But Lot just grew old and lazy and sinful in Sodom. And the Lord said, after so long a time, many years passed by again, and Lot became at ease at Sodom. And finally the Lord said, it's time to destroy Sodom. The Lord looked down, as he said in another place, to see if there were any that did seek after God, if there were any that did understand, if there were any that did fear him. He looked toward the cities of the plain, toward the great cities of Sodom, the great cities of Gomorrah, and said, I'm going to destroy it. There's none righteous. No, not one. None. And so the Lord appeared to Abraham. He appeared to Abraham. And Abraham interceded in chapter 18. Abraham interceded for Lot. You remember the story, don't you? I'll not read it all to you. Abraham interceded for Lot. You remember when he asked the Lord? The Lord said, I'm going to go down and I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham said, Lord, I hate to speak to you. I ought to be quiet, but would you destroy the city if you could find 50 righteous? And the Lord said, no, I wouldn't. Well, how about 45? Now, Abraham knew there wasn't 45. He knew that city. But Abraham didn't have any part with that place. He dwelt someplace else, Dan. He knew all about that city. He was a God-fearing man. How about 40, Lord? I won't destroy it. 30? Why was Abraham doing this? Why was he doing it? 30? 20, Lord? 10. Why was he doing that? Why was he praying for Sodom? He wasn't praying for Sodom. He was praying for Lot. He knew at least one man and his family, two daughters and two sons, and his wife. That's how many? That's six people. That's a little less than 10. But in case it was somebody else, 10? Would you not destroy the city for 10, Lord? I'll not destroy it if there be 10 righteous in all the city. But there weren't. There weren't. There weren't 10 people in that city that were righteous. So the Lord determined to destroy Sodom. So the angel of the Lord went to Sodom to destroy the city, but he also went there to save Lot. Now this was a city that most Bible historians say had as many as 7 million people in it. One man. You'll see a little while later, even his family wasn't much. One man. And the angel of the Lord went to Sodom to destroy that city, but for the sake of one sheep. And Christ the Lord, left this earth the first time. Just like Abraham, when Lot stayed where he was, and Abraham went back to where he was and received the covenant. The Lord Jesus Christ left this earth after he came the first time and finished that work of redemption and was buried and rose again and went back to the Father. And he went back there to receive a name, which is above every name, Lord, that his name every knee shall bow, ratify the covenant. He received the covenant, ratified it with his blood. And in due time, though, over a course of years, about 2,000, God said to the angel of the Lord, it's time to destroy the earth. It's time. But Christ ever liveth to make intercession for his people. He continues to pray. Will you not destroy the earth if there be 50? He knows how many there are. He knows every one. He calls them by name. He prays for his sheep. And he prayed for them. And he ever lives to make intercession for all of his people. And then the Lord sent his Holy Spirit down here to save his people from their sins and to save them from this untoward generation and to burn this land up. Now here's the story, and we'll stay in it in chapter 19. Look at it. Every eye, look at chapter 19, verse 1. And there came two angels. Now, folks, this is like reading a newspaper now, and this is you. Your name is Lot from here on out. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Lot sat in the gate. Now, what's he doing sitting in the gate? Why isn't he in there in the midst of Sodom? Well, Lot was living in Sodom, and perhaps he looked like a Sodomite, and perhaps he resembled the Sodomites, and he was living there. He shouldn't have been living there, but he was, and he was stuck. He got in a rut that he couldn't get out of. Yet Lot was unhappy, and Lot had separated himself somewhat from the society, from society's wickedness. He had indeed separated himself from society. And he was sitting out in the gate. Perhaps he was sitting there. Perhaps he was praying. I don't know what he was doing. Who knows? It doesn't say what he was doing. Perhaps he was dreaming of a way out. Oh, that somebody would come and get me out of this mess I've got myself in. Huh? Maybe he was. Peter said his righteous soul was vexed with the conversation of the wicked every day. And he got tired of listening to them. And so he'd go outside to the gate, tired of all this wickedness, and sit in the gate and just, oh, somebody come save me. Remember when I used to work on the railroad, and I'd sit, we'd all gather a bunch of heathen, a bunch of men, wicked fellows in one room together to receive all of our orders and do this and that and the other, eat lunch and all that. One big room, and it'd be a man. The more men you get together, the more they become like wild dogs. They try to outdo one another, try to outbark one another, become more wicked. In the truth, the more men you get together, one man by himself is not too bad. You get two or three or more together, and they'd be like a wild pack of dogs. And especially if a she-dog goes by. Right? You construction men? And I used to sit in that place, and I'd be so vexed. Finally, it doesn't matter if it's 10 below zero, I'd have to go outside. I'd sit on a bench out there. You ever done that, Stan? You go outside and just sit there and think, oh, Lord God, come down and get me out of this mess. Get me out. And Lot was sitting in the gate, and two angels came along. Two angels came to Lot. Lot didn't go to them. They came to him. And Lot met them. And doesn't Psalm 23 say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me? Doesn't the Scripture say mercy and truth met together to go save an old sinner? Doesn't it say righteousness and peace? Two angels kissed one another, made an agreement, come down and save an old Lot like you and me. The Holy Son and the Holy Spirit got together to come down here and save the people. And even the law and the gospel agree on this point. Something's got to be done. Save them. And verse 1, so Lot, seeing these men, rose up to meet them, and he saw who it was, and he bowed himself down. Lot bowed down and received them. Now look at verse 3. And he asked them to come in, and they said, no, we'll stay out in the street tonight. And in verse 3, and Lot pressed upon them greatly. No, stay with me. And they did. They turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and baked, look what they ate, unleavened bread. And they did eat together. And Christ himself sent the prophets and John the Baptist. The kingdom of God is preached, and men what? Anybody quote the rest of it? Press into it. Press into it. Men, press into the kingdom. Christ said, I stand at the door to his church. I stand at the door and knock. Any man open unto me, I'll come in and sup with him. And we'll have a feast. And he does. He comes in. But it's a pressing, isn't it? It's a seeking. It's an asking. Lord, would you come in? It's a knocking. Lord, please, come in. Don't leave me alone. Lord, don't stay out. Come in to me. Come to me, Lord, and sup with me. Would you feast with me tonight on the gospel? One of the ladies, Sunday morning after service, she said, it's true. I said, what's true? She said, it's true what you've said, that if you pray for the preacher, the Lord will bless you. Lord, bless me. Lord, bless me. Men, press. Now look at the wickedness of this people of Sodom, these men of Sodom. Verses 4 through 7. Let's read deep. But before they lay down, before they even got in the house to lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young. All the people, men and women, old and young, from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. You know what they're saying there, don't you? And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, oh, don't do so wickedly. Don't do so wickedly. Romans chapter 1 says that God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. They changed the truth of God into a lie. The word of God, the gospel, is perverted beyond recognition. Worship and serve the creature, man, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affection. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, selling their bodies. Women with women, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which is meet. It's right. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, not think about God, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication in every manner, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperer, backbiter, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmovable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. God gave them up. Homosexuality, based upon that passage, seems to be a certain sign of reprobacy. A certain sign of God leaving people to themselves, never to be recovered. And any society that condones it, that's what verse 32 says, those who know the judgment of God, that they which are commit such things are worthy of death, and they not only do the same, but they have pleasure or condone or consent with them that do them. Any society that condones it is going to suffer the same punishment that those who enter into those things will suffer. Get ready, America the Beautiful. And Lot, though, at least Lot, called sin sin, didn't he? Even though he had compromised his profession of faith, even though he had become somewhat like unto them, and a hypocrite, and living at ease in Sodom, yet Lot did have the enough faith to stand up and say, hey, that's sinful, didn't he? And they said to Lot, verse 9, they said, stand back. They said again, this fellow came in to sojourn. Well, he needs to be a judge. They might have quoted Matthew 7, right? Judge not. Right? God loves everyone. Who do you think you are to judge us? We're made this way. And they would have abused him. Had good day have gotten to him. But verse 10, but the men, those angels, put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house. You know, the Lord God restrains every evil from you and from me. By the Lord's mercies, Brother Henry, that you're not just like the rest of the world. You pulled out as a brand from the burning, right? And we're restrained daily, Brother Henry, from evil, all manner of evil. They that be for us or with us are more than they that be against us. He has His ministering spirits, His ministering angels. The people's angels do always behold the Heavenly Father's face. And they pull us out constantly, Barbara, constantly. We want to take a step here, or that which is an automobile, whatever, is about to destroy us or whatever, an angel of the Lord saves us. We don't see His hand, do we? But it's just as sure as this happened to Lot. Look at verse 11 in our text. Verse 11. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great. But they were so bad that they wearied themselves to find the door. They still tried to get at Lot and these men. Struck with blindness. And they still wanted to get at them in order to have relations with them. And this evil and wicked world that we live in, smitten and afflicted by God Almighty with every pestilence and disease imaginable because of sin, yet it people weary themselves to continue in it. Don't they? God said in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 5, why should you be stricken? You'll revolt more and more. Behold, the whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the feet to the top of the head, there's no soundness in it. One of the greatest killing diseases in history, this thing of acquired immune deficiency syndrome, AIDS, is ravishing the world, isn't it? Directly linked, nobody would deny this, directly linked to sexual sin. But men and women weary themselves to continue in this. No. This is like the Lord is letting us read tomorrow's headlines. This is going to happen. All right, look at verse 12. And the men said unto Lot, do you have any here besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place. We're going to destroy this place. The cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. The Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spoke unto his son-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place. The Lord will destroy this city. But he seen, this is sad. Lot finally got serious. But it's too late for his family. Let this be a warning, people. Those of you who especially have young people, young children, let this be a warning. He seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Perhaps he'd been silent too long. Perhaps he'd grown somewhat careless and indifferent to the things of worship. Obviously, he wouldn't have been at Sodom. He'd have gone where the gospel is then, Maybe he grew too much like the people of Sodom, and his sons-in-laws couldn't tell any difference between him and his neighbor. Perhaps he went places and did things that the Sodomites did. It didn't appear to be any different whatsoever than the rest of them, without openly corrupting himself, without compromising too much. At any rate, he finally became convicted, didn't he? Thank God. He finally became convicted and warned his family. And we go right back to the start. If only he had walked with Abram from the start, he wouldn't have been in this mess. If only he had walked with Abram from the beginning and grown closer and closer to Abram and grown like him and instructed his family. Remember what I quoted to you about Abraham? The Lord said, I know Abraham. He'll instruct his family in the ways of God. If only he had done the same. And if only he had been a stranger and a pilgrim in the earth like Abram, instead of settling down at ease in Sodom. And finally, Lot lost his family. He not only nearly lost his own soul, he lost his family. He lost his sons, he lost his wife, and his daughters weren't worth a flip. Right? You know what happened about his daughters, don't you? Where in the world did they come up with an idea like that? In Sodom, their daddy had grown. Verse 15, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, hurried up Lot, saying, arise. Every time the gospel's preached, we're in a hurry. I'm in a hurry. In the morning, and men ought to be in a hurry to be saved. Today, well, it's called today. When the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot. The morning arose. You know, the Lord's mercies are new every morning. Lot should have left that night. But at the morning arose, the sun arose, and the angels hastened old Lot. And Scripture says in Malachi, unto you that look for him shall the Son of Righteousness arise, with healing in his wing. And they said, take your wife and your two daughters which are here, lest you be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Verse 16. And Lot lingered. While he lingered. That old boy still hadn't learned his lesson. Charlie, he was about 60 years old by this time. But Lot was a believer. But you sure wouldn't have known it. He might have sat around and talked to, he might have been a closet Calvinist, Charles. He was a hearer of the word, but he sure wasn't a doer, was he? He heard the Lord say, I'm going to destroy this place, let's go. But he sat tight. He lingered. Lot hesitated, because he had much goods. Had a big fine home, this and that and the other. And Lot did just exactly what the men said to Christ when Christ said, follow me. Come and follow me. What did they begin to say? They began with from the least to the greatest, make excuses. Well, we bought a piece of land. We're not going to come worship tonight. We bought a piece of land to go see about it. Christ may come tonight, Wednesday, to gather his elect, whether they're gathered together. Huh? Thomas missed the Lord, didn't he? Well, I bought a piece of land. Well, let me bury my father. Let the dead bury the dead. Well, I got a wife, and wife's not feeling too. She's not doesn't prickly. You follow me, huh? Is it one whit difference? I have a wife. Well, here's salvation. Look at as he lingered, verse 16. The men laid hold on his hand and said, "You're coming, buddy." They laid hold upon his hand, upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters. The Lord being merciful unto him. And brought him forth and set him without the city. Lot said, but, the Lord said, no buts about it. Salvation. Is there any doubt from that passage that salvation is of the Lord? Salvation wasn't of Lot. He lingered. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation of the Lord. And bless the Lord God, he lays hold on every single lingering lot that he's chosen, every single one. Christ said in a parable one time, he said, what man is there among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a ditch on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold and lift it out? Leave the 99 and go after the one. Huh? That's what the great shepherd did. Every black sheep falling in the ditch, one lingering lot, he lays hold on him and lifts him out. We sang that song. I believe you might be able to sing it now. He lifted me out of the deep miry clay, settled my feet the straight narrow way. Salvation is to be laid hold upon. Salvation is to be apprehended by him whom we apprehend. Salvation is to be apprehended of Christ. In verse 17, and it came to pass, when they had brought them forth, the angels brought Lot and his family out, they said, escape for thy life. Don't look behind thee. Don't look behind you. Escape to the mountain. Look not behind thee, neither stay in the place. Escape to the mountain. And every time the gospel is preached, God's Spirit warns us to flee the wrath to come. Every time. A man has not properly preached the gospel lest he preach the holiness of God and the wrath of God that's going to fall on the ungodly and upon sin. It tells us to repent. Flee the wrath to come and escape to Mount Calvary to get in the ark. Noah preached for 120 years the same message. Judgment's coming with every blow of his hammer. Just as with every stroke of the pen, a gospel preacher says, judgment's coming. You better be in the ark. You better be in the ark. Judgment's coming. And the Holy Spirit leads and guides into all truth every step to take. Leads us in paths of righteousness. Shows us from his word where we're to go, what we're to do. That's exactly what these men did to Lot. Said, look not behind thee. Don't go to the plain. Go to the mountain. Go this way, not that way. This way. Don't go to the right hand. Go to the left hand. You go straight ahead. Turn not either way. Go to the mountain. Yet, in spite of all this, verse 18, Lot said, oh no, Lord, not there. wouldn't you think standing the Lord said, that's it. You ungrateful wretch. You rebellious, no good child. Go back to Sodom. What's wrong with you? Don't you remember anything? No more. No more mercy. No more. No, the Lord being merciful. Ever merciful and gracious. Lot said, oh Lord, don't make me go there. Let me go here. Boy, the Lord sure was long-suffering to Lot, wasn't he? He sure been long-suffering with me. That's the reason Peter said the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. The fact that the Lord puts up with you and I all the days of our life is salvation. And old Lot said, Lord, verse 19, if your servants found grace in thy sight, well, Lot, of course you have. You've magnified your mercy. You've shown mercy too. You showed me, you saved me, saving my life. But I can't go to the mountain. I can't go up there. Some evil will take me and I'll die. I'm still full of unbelief. I mean, right on the back of such salvation. Lord, I believe. Do you now? But I'm scared. Lord, I believe you're sovereign. But am I going to die of this? I can't do that. I can't go there. I can't forsake all for the gospel. I can't go through this trial or that. I can't. When? Lot. Okay. You know, sometimes the Lord gives you what you want. Okay. Go down there. That's what he said to verse 20. All right, here's the city. Go there. You stupid little idiot. That's what he should have said to him. Go your own way. And there is a way which Satan. The Lord lets us go our own way. Quite often the Lord gives us our way and lets us go. And Lot went down to this place called Zoar. It wasn't too long later, Henry, till Lot had to run from that place too. The Lord said, get to the mountain. Why?
That's where Abraham was all the time.
In the mountains. Look at verses 23 through 26. Well, the sun was risen upon the earth. Nice, bright, cheery, sunshiny day. And the day when everybody thought not. Sodom, the day the sun rose up. The stock market boom. Men went to work. Same as always. Marrying, giving in marriage. Everything continue. All things continue as they always have. Where's the promise of his coming? What is all this talk about? The sun rose upon the earth when Lot went into that city. Verse 22, he said, Lot, I can't destroy this city until you come out. That's election in it. Huh? If there had not been a remnant according to the election of grace, we'd have been to Sodom and Gomorrah a long time ago. Right? Lot, the sun rose on the planet, on the earth, as always, and the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city, and that which grew upon the ground, everything was scorched and killed. Verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Remember Lot's wife. She had her affection set on Sodom, though she looked like she was following Lot. Well, old Lot settled down in Zoar. And God had to roust him out of there too. And he finally fled, verse 30, to the mountains. Lot left Zoar. You'd think he's a changed man by now. But after all of it. He was about 70 by this time. Changed man. Got drunk. And committed incest with his daughter. He was still a sinner, wasn't he? That was his greatest sin yet. But the Lord saved him anyway. And people, you couldn't have heard a more solemn message than this tonight. And I'll read this in closing to you. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. He is faithful that promised. What did he promise? That all the Father giveth me will come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll no wise cast out. And if you stay with me, you'll not get in any trouble. So he says, Paul said in Hebrews, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good work. I'm trying to provoke you tonight. Not forsaking assembling ourselves together. I don't know the reason why people are not here tonight or whatever. I know why you're here. And God was merciful, pulled you out of Sodom on Wednesday night and brought you into this city. Said you worship. You consider the mercy of the Lord. And I'm trying to provoke you unto love and to good works and not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Anybody quote the rest of that scripture? Exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I'm not trying to be an alarmist, but this nation's going down to tubes, people. We've elected a man who has no contrition whatsoever for lived a life of open immorality for years, showed no compunction or contrition whatsoever for. I'm not getting into politics, I'm just telling it like it is. His first and highest and greatest act in office now is to open up the military to homosexuals. It's covering our newspaper. This is all he seems to be obsessed with right now. To open up the floodgates of AIDS and every affliction known, let it consume our military, let it consume our nation, give them all the rights they want. Let's turn this flat into Sodom. I don't devote all my messages to things like this, but the time has come to say something about it. Woe unto them that call good evil and evil good. And it's becoming a way of life. And it's going to come into this little town, and they're going to teach it in our school as an alternative lifestyle. And people are going to be settled down and act like there's nothing wrong with it. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, God's going to rain fire on this earth. We read it in Revelation, didn't we? It's coming. It's coming. And the sooner the better. The sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned. Are you a Lot? I hope so. The Lord laid hold on you. Save you. Save yourself from this untoward generation. Don't get settled back and at ease in Zion and at ease in Sodom and come taken up with this nation's wickedness and perversion. Don't do it. Don't come lax. Become lax. Warn your family. Warn people. Don't cease to be vexed with the conversation of this filthy and wicked world. Don't do it. Every transgression of law is sin, worthy of judgment. And this nation, this world full of false prophets and preachers and religion are spreading their message of God's love for everybody, even the homosexuals and so forth. God loves everybody. No talk whatsoever of the judgment of God. And God's going to start with them and judge them and cast them down. And that great harlot or whore that it talks about in Revelation, I think, is the false or apostate church, religion. Religion. We'll start with them. Cast her down. Save yourself from this untoward generation. The true prophets of God, the true messengers of the covenant, the true prophets have the same message today they always have had. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. Bow. Repent. God is angry with the wicked. God hates all workers of iniquity. My, my, my. Okay, stand with me and I'll dismiss this in prayer. Heavenly Father, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon our land. But do what seems good in thy sight. Your judgments are true and righteous. And we'll say amen to the death of the wicked. Amen to thy judgments upon this earth. And only if we are saved, only if we are pulled out like Lot. Lord, forgive us for being like Lot, for being as one that mocketh. Deliver us from ourselves. Make us like Christ. May we dwell with him. May we ever sit at the feet of Christ, gazing at Mount Calvary. Make us like Christ. Deliver us from this people. In his blessed name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.